Dear friends of Jesus Christ, recently my wife, Carol, bought a children's book called Thank You World by Alice McGinty. And she bought it to read to the grandchildren, of course, but also because it had such lovely illustrations of children from around the world experiencing the same moment of happiness. Waking up in the morning, flying a kite, swinging on swings, running through grass, being tucked in at night by mother. All very lovely. And the dust jacket of the book says of the book that it is uplifting, visually rich, and that it reminds us that life's greatest pleasures are simple ones. That life's greatest pleasures are simple ones. And that is, of course, so exactly right. But then, when you read the book, something seems amiss. It says, thank you, sky, or thank you, sun, for waking up the morning. Thank you, sky, for shining blue that calls me to touch you. Thank you, swing, you shoot me like a rocket. Thank you, grass, for softening my footsteps. Thank you, breeze, for lifting up my kite. Carol said after she had read it, she felt like she wanted to put God over nearly every page. I mean, it somehow seemed incomplete, as if on Christmas Day you get a shirt and you say, thank you, shirt, and you ignore the parent who gave it. Or you get a bike and you say, thank you, bike, and you turn your back on the uncle and aunt who gave it to you. I mean, of course, we're thankful for sky and sun and shirt and bike and running through the grass. But in the midst of all of this abundance, might there be a giver? Should we not look for the giver? I mean, if this afternoon you see someone coming up your drive, drop something off in the front door by the front, and then leave, and you check the front door, and there's this brand new computer, I mean, the first thing you're wanting to know is, who was this person? And then when you learn the identity of the giver, and you learn that the gift was given out of love, or perhaps out of great cost, or that it took great courage, why, then the gratitude you feel is multiplied, and you give back to the giver the joy and the gratitude and the pleasure that you have and the gift that you've received. And then the giver feels the pleasure, and so the joy of the gift is multiplied. You begin this dance of thanksgiving and joy. To give thanks, not only for the gifts, but to give thanks to the giver. You know the name Randy Pausch? He was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and he became famous when he gave a last lecture. He'd been diagnosed with cancer, had been told he had perhaps 6 months to live. That lecture, as you know, has been viewed by over 7 million people. It became a book. Well, anyway, when he then died, In the obituary column in the New York Times, there was some more told about him. And then here were some of the last things that he said. He said, cancer did not change me at all. I know lots of people who talk about the life revelation. I didn't have one. I always thought every day was a gift. But now I'm looking for where to send the thank you note. I've always thought every day was a gift, but now I'm looking for where to send the thank you note. And I'm thinking, could we say with the psalmist, come, Randy Pausch, come, Alice McGinty, come, every one of you, come, my soul, and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Do you know that in Hebrew, the word bless And this is a word you'll never forget, is Barak. Barak. And when that word is used over against God, like bless the Lord, Barak means praise, adoration, giving thanks. Praise the Lord. It is, in some ways, in our DNA. It is somehow the way we've been hardwired to praise. You know, there's this wonderful rabbinic story about God at creation time after 5 days of work, thinking that he had more or less completed his work. But to double check, he asked an attending angel whether there was anything else that might be needed. And the angel said, the work is perfect, as we would expect from anything that was made by you. But perhaps to make the perfect even more perfect, create speech that praises your perfection. The Westminster Catechism says that you and I, our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. John Calvin, in one of his commentaries on Psalm 33, that little verse which says, it is fitting for the righteous to praise His name, says that the task of the church, the task of God's people, is to rightly praise His name. Because the people of God, says Calvin, know the true splendor, the true majesty of God. They have tasted His goodness. They have seen the depths of His love and the wideness of His mercy. And so they more than anyone else, ought to be in the lead, praising, blessing the name of God. We're here to bless the Lord. The psalmist says, come. You know, there is something about praise, about blessing, that is evangelical. Have you noticed that? I mean, there are some movies who become huge hits without any advertising. It's all by word of mouth. People liked it. And when you like something, you say, you got to see that. You find a restaurant that you like, you say, you've got to go and eat there. It's just wonderful. Or a book you've read, or whatever it is. Praise is evangelical. And so the psalmist and the church ever since has said, come, all of you, every last one of you, see the splendor and the majesty and the goodness and the wisdom and the power of God. Bless the Lord. Come, come. Don't hold back. Bless the Lord. Now this psalm, this very short psalm, 134, is the last of 15 psalms that are called Psalms of Ascent. Psalms of Ascent. And it begins in Psalm 120. And it's thought that these songs were sung as pilgrims made their annual trip to Jerusalem. And in Psalm 20, for instance, at the very beginning of the journey, there is evoked this sense of being in a foreign land, being far from God, experiencing being surrounded by enemies. And then we've come to the very end, and they are in the temple. And the psalmist says, come and praise the Lord. And the word Lord is important, because the word Lord in the Hebrew is Yahweh. That's the one who introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush. It's the God who is defined by his faithfulness. He describes himself as the one who has heard the cries of my people. This is the one. It's not just any old God. Your things, my things. It's not to be addressed to whomever, to whom it may concern, or to a higher power. I know people, perhaps even amongst us, have a certain reluctance here. That they feel that which is the cause of all that delights us, that perhaps we don't know its name, that perhaps it hasn't got a face. And so they hold back. Perhaps some of you hold back. But the psalmist says, in the church sense, has said, oh, but we've seen his face. This God has a name. God's name is Yahweh. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one to whom you must bring all your things. You know, the psalm was written in a time where there were many gods. It was polytheistic. And you may say, well, that's a bit anachronistic. We don't live with that. But, you know, I think, as a matter of fact, we idolize or deify all manner of things. Power, riches, technology, capitalism, sex. And in the midst of it, we say, none of those things have brought us the great pleasures of life. None of them are the ones to whom you should finally address and speak your thank you to. And so one commentator, one writer, an Old Testament scholar says, all praise is not only evangelical and doxological, it's also confessional. It's in the praise of the people that God is made known. The psalmist says, our God sits enthroned on the praises of Israel. It is in our praise that we discover the icon, the verbal icon of the God whom we adore. We must be specific. We must be very specific. It is the Lord to whom we must shout our praises. You know, there was a cute story that James May tells in this connection. He read it, he said, in his Nashville newspaper, where there was a story told about a little girl who got separated from her mother in a very crowded shopping mall. And the little girl began running up and down the aisle, shouting, Ines! Ines! And finally, one of the clerks stopped her and reunited her with her mother. And her mother says, why did you call my name? You always call me mother. And the little girl says, oh, but mother, there are so many mothers in this shopping mall. There are so many gods, so many things that get all the credit. In praise, we bless the Lord, Yahweh, the faithful one, the one who has revealed himself in the scriptures, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him, we extend our thanks. Now, it is possible, after all is said and done, that for some of us, giving thanks is still a difficult matter because it's been a difficult year. Or perhaps you are right now in a very difficult situation. And of course, it's a good thing to remember, you know, our blessings and to name them one by one. But there are things in your life that have just loomed large. I mean, in our own congregation, since our last Thanksgiving dinner, our last Thanksgiving service, I mean, Karen Myskens has died, Ben Fackler, Case Van Ice, Rod Verhulst. And I know that many of you have experienced similar losses in your extended family. We live in a world that is just bleeding. I mean, we're all aware of this awful business now in India. And you say, how can a song be sung of praise in such a world as this? Or in a life that I've lived, or I'm living? I mean, just very personally, my brother-in-law, Carol's brother, a couple of weeks ago was told that he had cancer in his jaw. And so this past Monday, he went to Ann Arbor. And the doctor said that he is looking at maybe 12 to 20 hours of surgery. And then Pete and Yvonne, they send an email to family and friends, and they began by saying, we are flattened by this news. Just flattened. And that does often enough happen in life, that we feel flattened. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians says, in all situations, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the Lord's will for you. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And what do you pray for people who feel flattened? If I were ever flattened, I think what I would want you to pray for is that I might somehow learn that the situation is not desolate, that I've not been abandoned, that God is present. And you see, here's where the wonder comes. Suddenly, it's not the size of the gift that matters anymore. It can be the tiniest of gifts, if only in the smallest of gifts, I recognize the presence of the giver. Isn't that right? It can be but the smallest thing. But if I know that it is from God, then I will feel that there is a reason for praise, that there is reason for hope. Isn't that really the reason why we gather every Sunday to say, in the midst of it all, know that God is still there? You know, my mind, as it was thinking about this, thought of the Star-Spangled Banner. Remember? The flag was still there. It was a sign that the fort had not fallen, that, you know, there was still chance for victory. Well, the flag was still there. And we come here and we say, God is still there. God is still here. And this God has won a great victory for us over death. And so in the midst of tears and heartache and loss, in the midst of terrorism, God is still there. And he surrounds us with pleasures, with wonderful things. And so today, wherever you go, may every gift that gives you delight be for you a reminding, a sign that God is still there and that this world is his and that he will not forsake us. Come, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift your hands to the holy place. Bless the Lord. And then may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Now, Barak you means not praise you or adore you. For God to bless us means may he bestow on us goodness. And goodness not necessarily in the form of a lot of toys, but goodness in this sense, that you are planted like a tree by the river, that you are a participator in the life of God. You know, for the church, for the scriptures, a blessed life is a life that lives in close proximity to God. And the cursed life is the life that lives far, far from God. And so may Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth, bless every last one of you. And may you experience being planted as a tree by the river. And may you flourish and respond to this gift with praise so that there may be a dance of joy between heaven and earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.